Hey, go ahead and grab a seat. Man, it's so good to see you. Welcome to Easter at Cross Point. And I tell you, isn't it fun to celebrate something that's truly amazing? Isn't that amazing to just be able to celebrate that this weekend? Yeah, you can give it up for that, man. Awesome. Well, hey, let me pray for us before we do anything else. God, thank you for the chance to be here this weekend. And thank you for the amazing miracle of our lives. And thank you for the amazing miracle of Easter. Some of us walked in here today and we actually believe that all of this took place. Others of us, we're just not sure. And so wherever we are in that spectrum, God, I just pray that you would help us to grow in our understanding of you, to grow in our experience, and most of all, that we would feel you this weekend, that we would feel you and the power of what happened on that one single Easter Sunday morning. And so we just thank you for this, and we pray these things in your character, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, my name's Kurt. It's great to have you with us here at Cross Point. And for those of you tuning in online, so good to have you tuning in from wherever in the world you are tuning in with us from this weekend. Now, when you came in today, you got a bag in the room. I want you to go ahead and take that out. And in the bag is a marker. You can go ahead and pull that Sharpie out. If you're at home, grab a pen, a Sharpie, whatever you have close to you. And, you know, as we think about this, I know one of the things that I just never liked is when somebody tells me what to do. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you were kids, if you used to go to church, it's like, do this, don't do that. You know, don't drink, don't chew, don't smoke, don't go with girls who do. You know, that whole saying, like they'd always say, they'd give you all kinds of things to do, right? And I know some of you, if you got kids with you right now, you're like, oh gosh, my kids have a Sharpie. Kids, don't put this on your skin. No, I hope you actually put this on your skin this weekend. We're going to do something with this in a moment. You don't have to participate. You can if you want to, but we're talking about the impossible this weekend. And let's be honest, most of us, we have something in our lives right now that feels impossible, if we're honest. In fact, you are actually impossible. And so today, we're going to do a number of things to help us experience, not just see or know about the Easter experience, but actually to experience what Easter was all about. And you don't have to do any of this if you don't want to, but at the same time, if you will, I guarantee you, you're going to experience things you otherwise might not experience. So I want you to take this Sharpie, and on your hand, your wrist, anywhere you want above your thumb, I want you to write this word right here. I want you to write the word impossible. I am P-O-S-S. We're putting on the screen because I don't spell well in front of everybody. I-B-L-E. All right, impossible, because you do not want to get it wrong, right? It's not as much of a commitment as a tattoo, but nonetheless, you want to spell it right. So impossible, impossible. Just write that on your hand. You know, you just wrote on yourself impossible. And you know what? You are impossible. In fact, it's amazing how a crazy architect actually put you together. When you think about it, I mean, in the last hour, you probably aren't aware of this, but in the last hour, your heart has beat anywhere between 3,600 and 6,000 times, and you haven't even thought about it. Over the last 24 hours, you've taken over 20,000 breaths, and you haven't thought about it at all. Something you're probably not aware of is over the last 4 days, your stomach lining has actually replaced itself, and any of the cells that came into food in the digestive process actually replaced themselves within five minutes. I mean, absolutely amazing. And how does this all happen? I mean, it happens, you know, our brain actually controls our body functions. Your brain has 100 billion cells within it. Your body has over 32.7 trillion cells that makes up your being. I mean, you are actually impossible. And one of the ways we get energy is we take food in, it goes through our body, through about 30 feet of passage in the intestines, and it turns it into energy. And guess what, friends? We don't think about any of this at all. Listen, you are impossible. You're an amazing entity. You have a heavenly father, you have a creator, imagineer, someone who knit you together precisely the way you are, and he wants to even do something more amazing in you. In fact, in the New Testament portion of the Bible, we find something in the book of Romans. Now, Romans was written by a guy by the name of Paul. We love talking about the Apostle Paul around here. And if you're somebody who's not really into the church thing, man, you ought to read about Paul. Paul, you'd probably like Paul. Paul wasn't into Jesus either. He wasn't into the church thing at all. In fact, he was against Christians. He was arresting them until he changed his mind and totally did a 180. And he realized, oh my gosh, I've had some misinformation. And he began following Jesus. And so he says this. He says, and if the spirit of him who has raised Jesus from the dead, he said, that same spirit can actually be in you. That same spirit that raised Jesus, that reanimated Jesus, can actually be in your life and actually bring life back to your mortal bodies. I mean, think about that for a moment. Now, I know for some of us, you know, this idea of God literally and historically and physically raising from the dead, Jesus becoming dead for you and I, Jesus taking on sin, going to the cross, so you and I don't have to be eternally separated from God. I mean, he did that for us. That's actually amazing. It's amazing. And if that wasn't enough, he actually then conquered death by his body reanimating 3 days after it was laid lifeless in the grave. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And I want you to feel that this weekend. I want you to feel that today. Because think about this with me. Think about this for just a moment. I mean, if there is a God that's worth your time, all right, and if that God were to show up on this planet, I mean, don't you think weird stuff like this would happen? I mean, don't you think like bodies reanimating after being lifeless for 3 days would actually happen? Because if there's a God that can't intercede in that way, in a real tangible way in our lives, then why would we be interested in things like spirituality? And so there is a God. He created you. He cares for you. You are impossible, and he wants you to know and feel and experience him. You know, another thing you got when you came in is in your bag. You can go ahead and take that out. It's a bag of Pop Rocks. Now, for those of you tuning in online, I am sorry. This is one thing I cannot teletransport through the airwaves to you. We haven't figured out how to do that yet, so you're going to have to just observe this. But for those of you in the room, I want you to take out your Pop Rocks and go ahead and pop those open. Don't eat them yet. There's bird flu in there, all right? Don't. Too soon for that kind of joke? All right. You know, just don't eat them yet. Just hang on to them. But, you know, these Pop Rocks, here's the thing. I want you to experience, God isn't someone to just be known about or looked at, all right, or to be observed. God wants to be experienced. He wants to be alive and moving in and through you. And see, the same is true with these Pop Rocks. These are of no value sitting in this container right here. I mean, there's nothing exciting or life-giving about them. It's only when we experience in them. And so the first thing that we want you to kind of feel this weekend, that I want you to feel, is these right here. I want you to feel these Pop Rocks going to town in your mouth. So go ahead and just dump these in, all right? Let's give our 30-foot of digestive passageway a test right here. It's just like, let's just all open our mouth for like the symphony of Pop Rocks. Ah, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I bet you've never done Pop Rocks on Easter weekend before in church, right? Man, see, I want you to feel things this weekend. God wants you to feel things this weekend. It's amazing. And they just keep going. See, some of us here this weekend, you thought you were coming to a Easter tradition obligation moment. We're just going to sit and kind of go through the rituals and the hoops. No, perhaps God wants to do something unique and profound in your life this weekend. And maybe whatever you feel like is impossible. You know, I've had a lot of experiences with things that seemed impossible over the course of my life. In fact, when I go back to my high school days, when I was 15 years old, I had a pretty traumatic shoulder injury, a dislocation that created a lot of pain ongoing in my life. And in that first dislocation, I had to go to the hospital for them to put it back into the joint. And when I got there, they could not get the humerus, the head of the bone, back into the shoulder socket. And so my shoulder was out long enough, they were beginning to get worried that I was going to lose all feeling and use of my hand for the rest of my life. It was going to kill the nerves in my arm. And so the surgeon, he actually went to my parents and said, hey, we don't know what's going on here. We need to take her into surgery. We don't even know what we're doing. We don't know what we're going to find, but we have concern that if we don't act now, he's going to lose his arm. My mom was at a Bible study with a bunch of her girlfriends. She asked them to start praying. They did. She rushed to the hospital. By the time she got there, the surgeon came out pretty quickly, and my parents said, hey, okay, what happened? He said, well, the strangest thing happened. Right before I put the scalpel to his skin, I just felt nudged to try to put that bone back into the socket one last time, and it just like went in as if it was like meant to be there. He said, it was impossible. I don't know how that happened. And here I am, still with use in my shoulder, still yet today. Back in those same days, back in high school, if you would have known me in high school and you would have known about my good, solid 2.4, 2.5 GPA, you would have said, that guy right there, Kurt Walters, no chance. He has any chance of a college degree. But nonetheless, here I am. I mean, I'm still going strong. College degree, still learning, going strong. They said it was impossible. My first job out of college, I served at a church as a student pastor. And if anyone would have told you I'd be doing what I'm doing right now, standing in front of people speaking, they would have said, man, that is a very optimistic thought. We love your optimism. It is impossible. He's horrible. He doesn't talk well in front of people. And they were right. In fact, my wife would even tell you, I mean, if you could talk to her, she would say, it was painstaking to hear Kurt. I would be up half the night just because I had to read something in front of people. All right, I was like, keep me behind the scenes. I don't ever in my life want to be in front of people. That is impossible for me, yet here I am today. A few years ago, when we started vision leaking this idea of a new kind of church to some of our friends, people close to us, that eventually became Crosspoint, just saying, hey, do you think there's a need in our community for a church where it's okay not to have it all together? A place where people who aren't really interested in God in church, but they're interested in God, can come and kind of not have to do all the, you know, spiritual hula hoops, but just kind of connect with God in their own way. And, you know, one of my friends, he said to me, I think he's my friend, based on his comment, I'm not sure. He said, Kurt, I sure hope you're not going to start one of those rock and roll churches. It'll never work. That's impossible. And yet here we are, still going strong 15 years later. Yeah. You know, my wife, when she got her breast cancer diagnosis a few years ago, we sat down with her oncologist, and her oncologist wanted to hear her story, kind of her health history up to that point. And we started sharing she was sharing a bit of her story, and got to this particular season a few years before that where she shared about how we kind of felt nudged to, you know, we just got past 40 and we're like, we need to kind of get healthy and start eating and taking care of ourselves. So we changed our diet, changed our lifestyle, started eating clean, organic, and all kinds of things, lost quite a bit of weight. And I think, you know, she lost, you know, a significant amount of weight. And the doctor said, whoa, wait a second. Tell me about that again. And so she went through the sequence again. She said, so you lost 25, 30 pounds during that? She said, yeah. And she said, okay, I just want you to know that if you, for whatever reason, because you followed that nudge, if you wouldn't have lost that weight, we would not have found this breast cancer this soon, and you probably would have been into stage 3 or 4 before we found it. It would have been impossible to find it otherwise. Ooh. See, whenever there's something impossible, that impossible tells us there's something behind the impossible. And I want you to imagine with me for a moment. I mean, imagine wherever you live that you came down one morning to wherever you eat breakfast, whether that's in your dorm room or at your house or the cafe, school, whatever, wherever that is for you. And there were some alphabets sitting right there in front of you. Anybody remember alphabets? I mean, I recently had alphabets, like in the last 30 years by chance, alphabets. Yeah, I remember alphabets. Imagine you came down and that bowl was placed right there in front of you, and these letters aligned and gave you this message right here. I love you. Now, what would you assume if you were to see that right there? All right, would you assume that somebody must have come before you and been like, oh man, I'm going to arrange these because I want you to have a message that affirms you today? Or would you just go, oh, I mean, somebody has poured them in, the milk must have, you know, floated them in the right direction. All of a sudden, those 8 letters just randomly got in the right order to communicate something to me. Listen, you are not a random accident. Right, your brain has 100 billion cells that God put there for very specific reasons. Your body has 32.7 trillion cells, and God wove you together exactly as you are. You are impossible. And yet at the same time, you and I all have things going on in our lives that we feel like are absolutely impossible. And perhaps you have memories from your childhood of abuse that you just think, man, it's impossible that I will ever get to a place where I have a clear mind. I mean, perhaps for you, it's bankruptcy or it's some kind of debt, and you're just like, it's impossible that I am ever going to be financially free. Or perhaps it's some kind of addiction, and you just think, you know, it is impossible. I mean, I've tried and tried. It's impossible that I'll ever get to the place where I am not addicted. Or perhaps it's, you know, something in your health history, a medical diagnosis, and you're just like, I think it's impossible I'm ever going to be healthy again. Maybe the pandemic just did something, it did a number on you. I mean, maybe it did something in your marriage, in your life, with your mental health, and you just sit there and go, I just don't know, it's not possible for me to get to a new place. I've tried and I just can't get out of the funk that I'm in. Or perhaps it's bitterness. Maybe there's bitterness toward a previous employer or a friend or somebody who just let you down, and you just think, you know, it's impossible that I'm ever going to have joy again. I mean, I could go on and on and on. See, I want you to identify, what is that thing? When you look at that word on your wrist or on your hand, impossible, what's the thing that you're facing right now that comes to mind for you? All right, what is that? Perhaps you came in here today and you think it's impossible that Jesus actually did live, did die, did go to the grave, came out animated 3 days later. All right, maybe it's impossible for you to think that that actually happened. Again, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, he's not just talking about being saved from, you know, being eternally separated from God in the long run. No, he's talking about right now. He's talking about right now in whatever affliction, whatever thing feels impossible in front of you that you think you're never going to get over. He says that same power actually can intercede in that moment. So I want you to identify, what is that thing as I walked in here today that I'm thinking, man, this is impossible. I'm facing this and I just don't see any possibilities. And as you think about that thing, I want you to listen to the words of this song. In fact, God, as we think about this thing that is impossible in front of us right now, and as we think about these lyrics, I pray that you would just help us to grasp what it means to be loved by you, and that more so we would understand your capabilities. Amen. That for a moment, it seems impossible, right, to be actually loved by our Heavenly Father in spite of all the things that are going on in our lives. You know, we probably all know the basics of the Easter story, right? Sweet bearded Jewish guy dies, put him in a grave, in a crown 3 days later, he comes back animated, back to life. Good, great, love the story. It's time to eat, right? Like that's Easter in a nutshell right there. But see, here's the fascinating thing about the Easter story. You know, when Jesus died, I mean, when his followers, when they watched him die, when they stood there and watched him hanging and being taken off the cross, I mean, all of their hopes, all their dreams, all the things they thought were possible died with him in that moment. I mean, in that moment, there was not any Christian standing underneath the cross. The Christians didn't exist at that moment. I mean, nobody was saying, hey, our leader's dead. We ought to take his teachings and move them forward. I mean, he had some really good things to say. No, when Jesus dies, the movement, it's game over right there. I mean, he's... Yeah, it's like that's it. There's nothing left to do. I mean, this is really interesting because even Jesus' closest followers, his closest friends, I mean, when he was arrested and they begin to try him, I mean, they kind of all abandon him. I mean, the very people who bring the story of Jesus to us, I mean, the very people who write and leave these accounts for us, they presented themselves as cowards. Listen, if you're trying to leave a story that's believable, you don't present yourself in the story as cowards. You know why they presented it that way? Because that's what happened. Because, I mean, if you want to present something that's believable, you write yourself as a hero into the story, not as a coward. But the very people who brought everything we know to us about Jesus, they all admit, yeah, when Jesus was arrested, man, we ran. We ran away. Not only did we run away, but we lost faith. We thought all was over and there was nothing left to believe. All this to say, if you have a hard time believing this whole thing that Jesus got put in the ground, came back animated 3 days later, listen, you are in good company. I mean, for centuries, for millenniums, people have had a hard time struggling with this. Even those that were there on that first Easter had a hard time with this because they just assumed that, man, Jesus, I mean, once he's dead, he's just going to do what dead people do, right? He's just going to stay dead. I mean, the death rate's pretty much hovered around 100% for people until the first Easter morning. And so here's how that morning unfolded right here. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. This is John writing this, who was the other disciple. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to like brag that Jesus loved me more, but like, you know, Peter came running, then the one Jesus loved, which was me, you know, came running too, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Now, here's why this is so important. See, Mary Magdalene, she didn't go running to the rest of the team and say, hey guys, he did it, he's back. That was not the message. I mean, there were no campfires, there were no tents, there were no pep bands, no food trucks. Nobody was counting down backwards, right? 10, 9, get your camera ready, everybody get ready, here it comes. There was none of that. I mean, the people who brought us the story of Jesus and his life and his resurrection sheepishly but honestly admit, yeah, when he died, we just thought he'd do what most dead people do. We didn't know that anything different could happen. We thought he'd just stay dead. And so when the women went to the tomb and they found that it was empty, they did not assume a resurrection. They actually thought somebody had stole the body. All right, they went running back to the disciples and they're like, hey, somebody stole our God. We had a problem. Somebody stole our rabbi. All right, we don't know where they put him. And Luke, the gospel writer, Luke, he's the one that says, hey, I thoroughly investigated all these things. I took meticulous details when I talked to people who were there because I wanted to leave an orderly account of exactly what took place right there on the ground with Jesus in the first century for everyone who comes after us. He says, but they, meaning the men, did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. I mean, so when the women came running to the men and the body was missing, the guys didn't go, praise God, he's back. We just got to find him. No, they're like, you guys are crazy. You went to the wrong tomb. That is impossible. You're just not looking in the right place. And so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple, this is John talking about himself again. He's like a little faster than Peter. He outran Peter and he reached the tomb first. And he bent over and he looked at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Do you know why he didn't go in? I think about this. He stood on the outside kind of peeking in. You know why? Because when he looked in, he's like, I see dead people. I mean, you don't even like going to the fridge in the garage when it's dark, right? I mean, think about walking into a tomb that's like a morgue. I mean, he's like, I'm not going in that place, even though I got here first because I was a little faster than Peter, right? It says, then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth, this is so fascinating, was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And then finally, John gets up the courage, now that Peter's gone in. He says, finally, the other disciple. Now he's not so proud to be the other disciple. He's like trying to cover himself up. Finally, the other disciple, I don't really know who he was. He had reached the tomb first, but he also went inside. And he saw, and what's it say right there? He believed. This is John, who spent 3 years writing this, following Jesus around, writing down everything that happens. And do you know when he finally believed? It wasn't when Jesus was doing his amazing teachings. He's like, oh man, he must be sent from heaven. I mean, he's amazing when he teaches. It wasn't when he was doing some amazing miracles, even though there are so many miracles that were amazing. It wasn't even at the crucifixion. Nobody believed then. I mean, everybody abandoned him at the crucifixion. You know when he believed? He believed when he saw with his eyes what seemed impossible become possible. Because whenever there's something impossible, it tells us that there's something behind the impossible. See, this is where the Easter event, this one single event in human history that we hang all of our faith on in the Christian faith, this is where this one single event intersects your life and my life. Because see, when we look at this word, I mean, just look at that word that you wrote on your hand, on your wrist. When we look at this word, what comes to mind? There's all kinds of things. You're like, oh, I'm facing all kinds of things that feel impossible right now. I just can't really see how things are going to work out. Understand John and Peter and all Jesus' other friends who are there. I mean, as they're watching Jesus hanging on that cross, I mean, John's kind of standing in the back looking in from a distance. Peter, again, is in the back. He'd run into the city. He came back just to see what happens. They can't see it. They can't see it. They can't see and then that in that moment, God was about to do something new and make what seemed impossible possible. Something totally out of the box. And for them, and for you, and for me, even right here today, all of this same power, as Paul said, is available to you and me. This same power that animated Jesus and brought his lifeless body back to life, it's available to you and me. It can give life to your and my mortal bodies. That dream that's been crushed in you, or that thing inside of you that you're just like, I am never going to get out from under this. That thing that we feel is just dead, that part of us that we feel is just dead. Listen, God can reanimate and bring that back to life. And many of us right now, I mean, you're facing things that seem impossible, and they are. I mean, as long as you try to approach those in and of your own power, they are impossible. As long as you try to theorize your way into some solution, it is impossible. As long as you think, oh, the government's going to take care of this. I don't care what administration's in office. If you're waiting on the government, it's going to feel like impossible, and it will be. But it's not impossible when we invite God into the story. And see, as you've been sitting here today, if you've felt something, or you begin to sense something, something moving, something stirring, something hopeful that you begin to feel in your spirit, you know why you feel that? You feel that because your creator, who created all 32.7 trillion cells in you and put you together exactly the way you are, he brought you here today because perhaps he wanted you to get to him. You to maybe experience, not just know about him, but experience and feel things, maybe even for the first time. Let's look at this word that we wrote on our wrists right here, impossible. I want you to take your Sharpie, take your pen if you're tuning in at home, whatever you wrote with. I want you to cross out the first two letters, I am. I want you to just cross those out. Just cross those out. I'm telling you, if you think you're not worthy, if you think, okay, I'm stupid, there's nothing good that can come through me. If you think, okay, I'm unhealthy, I'm never going to get healthy. If you think, okay, I'm never going to get out of this thing that I'm in, I'm never going to get to a place where I have joy again, whatever it is, just cross that out. Because of Easter, right? What's right here on your hand? Because of Easter, it's possible. I mean, what do you see? You see the word possible, right? And I know what some of you see. You're like, oh, gosh, I'm going out to Easter dinner with my family. They're going to be like, why'd you write on yourself? I mean, you're going to grandma's house. She didn't like tattoos, and it'll come off eventually. Hey, I want you to carry this with you. I want you for the rest of the weekend to remember that Easter, because of what happened on that first Easter, what seemed impossible is actually made possible. Listen, some of us right now, it's not an accident that you're in here. There was an appointment that God made with you to be in this space right now. There was an appointment that God made with those of you online to be streaming this moment. Because see, God has actually been working on you. God has been setting you up to experience him and to experience relationship with him. And the way that happens is through the way that Jesus made. That we don't have to beat ourselves up anymore. We don't have to, you know, beat ourselves up for all our problems and our failures and our pains and our shortcomings. You know why? Because Jesus got beat up for us. All right? We don't have to keep regretting all the things we should have done because Jesus took that on for us. We don't have to keep wondering, oh my gosh, do I have what it takes? You know what? No, because Jesus has what it takes. And he says, I'm going to bring that spirit and that strength to you. That same spirit that animated his lifeless body is available to be alive and at work in you. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. In fact, I want us to go ahead and bow our heads just for a moment. And I want us to have a moment to just pray. And perhaps for you, as we pray, perhaps over these last few minutes, there's been a moment of clarity as you came in here about who Jesus is, or perhaps the hope that he can bring, and that things that seem impossible actually are possible because of this one single event. And you may just want to say with your mouth, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be the leader in my life because I want to live out of that kind of power. And if that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. I'm just going to ask you to repeat it after me. You don't have to do it at 100 decibels. You can do it quietly under your breath. Or just the Apostle Paul just says, hey, if we confess with our lips, there's something about just saying this prayer. It goes like this. Hey, God, thanks for bringing me here today. I want you to be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me, for carrying my burdens. I want what's not possible, Jesus. I want you. And so I just pray that you would animate me with your spirit. And that you'd allow me to the best of my ability to follow you, Jesus. That's what I want. I want to experience that kind of power in my life. Amen. Amen. Listen, friends, this is Easter right here. This is Easter. Hey, let's go ahead and stand. Why don't we stand right now? And I tell you what, because the grave was empty. Because that grave was empty 3 days later, that same power that animated Jesus is available to you. And so we're gonna respond in this moment with some gratitude, with some singing out of our 32.7 trillion cells that God put you together with. And we're gonna do this in a way that allows us to sense that same power that was stirring 6 feet under, that same power is at work in those things that feel impossible in your life. Do you feel it? Do you guys feel it? Do you see it? All right, do you see it? All right, I hope you do. All right, let's sing this together.